I'm Mark Strauss, and it's time now for our ISU Department of Ag segment. We have them in every month. They're right here in town, so it's good to hear from them. And we have members of the ISU Hoof and Horn Club. We'll tell you what that is in just a minute. They are Corey Malone and Jennifer Ehring. They're both advisors who teach animal sciences at the Department of Ag. And Teresa Homerding, who's the president, the club president of the Hoof and Horn Club. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. What is the Hoof and Horn Club?
Well, so you've interviewed several of our clubs over the past, and so you kind of have an idea of the diversity of the clubs that we offer through the department. And the Hoof and Horn Club is really one of those animal science-oriented clubs. And so, you know, we have everything from Collegiate Farm Bureau and FFA to the Horticulture Club. You had the independent service dogs on a couple weeks ago, and wanted to remind folks that they do have their educational seminar coming up on March 3rd from 10 to 4. And that's located in the Schrader Hall in room 130. So admission is free, so we encourage everybody to go to that as well. But we're here for a little bit different purpose today. We want to talk about Hoof and Horn and what it is. We have a whole variety of members. So we're one of the newer clubs in the department. It was started in December of 2015. And the membership has grown. So we have about 52 members currently. And their backgrounds vary considerably, but their general interest is the same, and that is animal agriculture.
You work with livestock. And, Teresa, you're the president of the club. So tell
yes.
me, and you didn't grow up on a farm.
I did not.
So that's kind of interesting to me. So how did you wind up in the Hoof and Horn Club?
Well, I was just a member when it first started, and I was really interested to kind of get to know how the show aspect of the animal industry is. So then I just want to get really involved, so I came to every meeting, and then last year I ended up being the secretary of the club, and it kind of gave me a little bit more of the experience and leadership. So then this year I was able to be the president and kind of help get all these other members on board and just make a show successful and bring more industry professionals into
our club.
So
you didn't grow up around animals at all, other than maybe
having
a pet?
Well, I had fainting goats
Oh, okay.
for like a year or two, but that doesn't really count, I guess.
So I guess what I'm wondering is what compelled you to sign up for the club in the first place if that wasn't something, you know, you were normally around?
Well, being an animal science student, I thought that this would be, since it's an animal science club, I thought this would really benefit me, and later on put this on my resume and talk to industries about this.
All right. It all makes sense now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the direction you want to go. And you work up at the ISU farm.
That I do.
What do you do over there?
I help in the pig barn, so from farrow to finish, if you don't know what that is, we're little piglets, and then you help just pretty much grow them out until market. And then sometimes I help out in the cattle barns, and right now we're calving, it's calving season, so we help out with that. And then we also have sheep out there and one llama, so kind of help out, do daily activities, do chores, and whatever else is need done.
And what do you like best, working with which animals? Does it matter?
I like all of them, but I mostly like the pigs.
Really?
Yes, even though the smell stinks, but...
Yeah, it does. And yes. Thanks for cleaning up before you came into the studio.
Just for you.
All right. So all of you, the Hoof and Horn Club has a huge show coming up. It's the Redbird Rumble Jackpot Steer and Heifer Show. There's actually money at stake in this thing. And you've got kids who are showing animals as young as, what, age 9?
Yes, 8 actually.
8.
So, yeah, full year younger. So, our big show is happening Friday, March 9th through Sunday, March 11th, and it's happening at the Interstate Center. So, here in town, junior exhibitors from across the Midwest are invited to come to the Interstate Center, exhibit their animals, and the whole idea of a jackpot show is that any entry money gets jackpotted back then to the juniors. So it's a great money-making opportunity for them, and teaching them a little bit about hard work and, of course, getting to be with their livestock family.
This is like the steer and heifer version of the Westminster Dog Show, right?
That's exactly. You must have read my notes, because I said it's a lot like the Westminster Dog Show, but it's just a little bit bigger of a species.
Yeah. What are the animals required to do? What are the steers and the heifers required to do in order to score well at these events, at an event like the one you guys are putting on?
Yeah, absolutely. So pretty much what I just tell people is, like, when you see the Westminster Dog Show, you see it broken down by breed, and those certain breeds have certain, you know, characteristics that the judge might be looking for. So in the cattle industry, we basically say we're just trying to relate their form, so how they're built, to their function. So what is their purpose? You know, our females have to go on and be mama cows, so we want them to have those traits that are going to mean they're going to be good cows someday, good mamas. And
what are some of those traits?
So those could be anything from their milking ability, because that's what they're going to raise that calf on for the first 6 months of its life. Their feed efficiency. So
will you milk them there at the show?
No, we won't.
So how do they determine
that? We will look at their udder development.
Okay.
So you can see it developing, and we'll see the teat placement and that sort of thing. Feeding efficiency is a big thing, right? So we don't want to have to be pouring a ton of feed into these animals for them to be able to raise their young and that kind of thing. So just different traits like that go into it.
Does presentation count? In other words, I'm not talking about the animal. I'm talking about the shower. Is that the term, by the way?
Who? Yes, yeah. Showmanship.
The showman.
Yes, and we were actually having that on Saturday, and that's starting at 8 a.m., and that's pretty much the judge just looks at the shower, the exhibitor, and see how they handle the animal and see how much actually experience that they've show how much work they put into it.
Now, if the animal is well behaved, that probably reflects well on the showman.
Yes,
and
if
the animal's a little bit, you know, disobedient, that probably costs you points, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so how do you deal with an animal that's a little bit obstinate?
Well, I will say that these animals are kind of like the Olympic athletes of the cattle world, right? So they've been training for several months.
Do they know they're training?
Some days they probably know it. Some days they probably just think they're being pampered.
Because they say, like with racehorses, they understand what's going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. They're very intelligent animals, and they pick up. So you always develop a routine at home, and you try to make that routine reflect what's going to happen at the show so that their training, they can relate that show to what's going on at home.
Have you ever shown an animal?
I've been showing cattle since I was 5 years old.
Really?
And I won't tell you how old I am now, but it's been a while.
Okay.
So.
Well, I wasn't going to ask your age. And what do you generally like to show? Cattle?
Yep. I show a lot of heifers, and the breed I happen to show is called Limousine. Don't get it confused with the car. But it's a French breed, and it's really known for its muscling and those kind of traits. And that's the breed I've always shown. My husband shows a different breed, so he'll tell you that breed's better. But they all seem to work together pretty well.
Why do they call it a Limousine?
It's the part of France that it comes from. It's actually not spelled the same way as the car. There's no E on the end.
All right. It's the place of origin of that breed.
Yes, pretty much.
All right. See, I learned something there. I might be able to win a bar bet with that.
Or Jeopardy.
So now, running the show with the Hoof and Horn Club running the show.
Yes.
What is doing a show like this, putting on a show like this, how does that help you as an animal sciences student?
Well, as an animal science student, and not even having that really background, but this helps because we have to go out and go into the industry, talk to industry professionals, and try and get people to sponsor for our show and have people come to our show. And if this is like the sponsors, so they come and then we give them banners and whatnot to kind of pull in a little plug for them.
Yeah, you help market them, and then they help with you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like any other advertising. There's up to $1,000 at stake in the show. Does that depend on the category?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's for
grand overall.
So we show by breed, and then those champions in the breed, just like in a dog show, will come back for the best in show. And that's what we call grand overall. And that's, you get that big jackpot, that $1,000. So, and that's, of course, you know, you've got your heifer division and your steer division. And we're offering two rings, not just one ring. So really it's $2,000 that's kind of on the line for this show.
Are there ever any accidents with the animals out there? I don't mean getting hurt. You know what I mean? Like,
They do use the restroom. We let them use the restroom freely. These Hoof and Horn members are great at cleaning it up right after them. So we are at their service.
Now, I'm serious about this. If that happens in the middle of showing an animal, do you lose points for that?
No, you don't. It's something you really can't control. So we don't hold it against them.
Yeah. I'm going to go to you, Corey, because – you said you've been showing animals for a long time, so long that you won't tell me how long. So, since you were 5 years old, has that ever happened to you?
that they've used the restroom in the in the show ring? Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so how old were you the first time that happened?
Probably happened when I was 5 or 6. I'm
and sure. What was that like to clean it up in front of everybody?
So I didn't have to.
Oh.
You're lucky when you go to a show, there's people in the ring that are kind of designated for that job.
Oh, what a
so,
horrible job.
Oh, I know,
is that?
Right? They don't get paid enough, correct?
What did they do to get that job?
You know, it's usually the hardest workers, so I guess you got to be kind of lazy to not have to get that
job. The dumbest worker, I think, is what it is. All right. Well, it's just something you can't avoid, I guess. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Right.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to add about the Hoof and Horn Club and the big Redbird, Rumble, Jackpot, Steer, and Heifer Show?
Yeah, I guess overall we just really want to thank everybody for all their support. The students have been out soliciting sponsorships and support from the livestock industry and the Bloomington Normal area in general, and they have done an overwhelming job just supporting the effort of the students. So we really want to give a shout-out. Thank you.
Have all the entrants been registered yet, or are you still looking for people?
We are still looking for
okay,
people.
Okay, so if somebody's listening and they've got a young person who likes to show, how can they get registered for the Redbird Rumble March 9th through the 11th?
Yeah, so we're just taking entries at the show. So you just show up and you will come to the check-in period, which is Friday
it's
from 4 to 9.
It's at the Interstate Center.
It is, absolutely. You just come and you'll check in there. So no pre-entry required.
All right, good. Yeah. So just bring your animal. It's got to be a steer or a heifer, right?
It does you're have not, to be a steer.
You're not
or
doing
heifer.
Pigs or anything like that.
No, not yet. We're hoping in the coming years to venture into those directions, but this is a big enough event for us now.
Yeah. It may sound strange to some people who aren't ag listeners, but they do show pigs, don't they?
Oh, absolutely they do. Yeah, and that's a goal of ours someday, to have a pig show and a lamb show. So they're just as competitive as cattle shows.
Which animals are the easiest to train for these shows?
I think it just depends on the person you talk to. They're going to probably say their species is the hardest one to train.
What's your experience? You're the expert here.
Well, of course I think cattle are tough, but it's very enjoyable. Jennifer has a lot of experience in the lamb industry, and she'll probably say that they're really hard to train.
I think it has a lot to do with just the exhibitor's general hard work and demeanor, right? If they're willing to put in the time, you can make just about any species.
Which animals are the most obedient? Or are any of them?
Are you looking for an animal here?
No,
is that
I'm
what
just,
you're asking?
No, I'm just wondering.
I think that you have obedient ones in every species, and you have those non-obedient, just like children, right? So typically your oldest child is your more obedient, your youngest is a little bit wilder, same thing.
All right, it's just my job to ask, you know, the dumb guy questions. Right. Corey Malone, Teresa Homerding, and Jennifer Ehring, all from the ISU Department of Ag and the ISU Hoof and Horn Club on our ISU Department of Ag segment.